This morning, I want to talk to you about unshakable last day worship. Unshakable last day worship. What will that look like? Isaiah chapter 24, please, in your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 24. We're going to read it together and then trust that God will speak to each of our hearts today. Now, Father, we just want to thank you this morning for the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit in this sanctuary and in each of our lives. You never promised us that life would be easy, but you did promise that we would have a song of worship and praise that cannot be taken away from us. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. God, would you help us in a deeper way today to understand what that sounds like? What does it look like? For the days are dark that we are living in and will get darker in the not too distant future. So Lord, we ask you, God, strengthen us by your word today. Build us on that solid foundation that you yourself said, the one who builds on a rock of your sayings, your truth, the floods came, the rain beat on that house and it stood. Father, we want to be, each of us, built on that foundation where we will stand no matter what comes against any of us. So help us, God Almighty. Help our brothers and sisters in Florida this morning, this afternoon, Lord. Help them, oh God, especially those who know you. Help them to be, keep them safe and help them to be a testimony of who you are in the middle of their storm. Lord, we thank you for them. We praise you and we bless you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you always leave a testimony in the middle of every storm for the sake of those who don't yet know you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts today in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Unshakable last day worship. Isaiah chapter 24 is understood by virtually everybody that interprets it to be a prophetic chapter in the book of Isaiah, very similar to the books of Revelation that describe the last of the last days of this world as we know it. Isaiah just in the spirit fast forwards to a day that's yet to come. Whether or not we're touching the edges of that day, I don't know. But the Bible does say that we are not children of darkness, that this day should overtake us as a thief. And so there's something that stirs inside of us, something of the spirit that says, God, we are living in what could be the days just before your return. And of course, Isaiah 24 also describes the days after his return as well. But let's talk after his return for his church. Let's read it. I'm going to read to you beginning at verse 1 to verse 16. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface and scatters abroad its inhabitants. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the creditor, so with the debtor. In other words, the difficulty that's going to come to this world in the last days of time literally will touch everybody. There will be nobody escape, no matter where they live or how many houses they have on how many continents. Everybody will be touched by the darkness of those days. The land shall be entirely emptied and utterly plundered, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty or the proud people of the earth languish. The earth, in other words, they're starving for something of substance or stability. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants because they've transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. The new wine fails, the vine languishes, all the merry-hearted sigh, and the mirth of the tambourine ceases. The noise of the jubilant ends. The joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with a song. In other words, even drunkards sitting in bars are not going to have anything to sing about. Strong drink is bitter to those who drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up so that none may go in. There is a cry for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city, desolation is left, and the gate is stricken with destruction. When it shall be thus, in the midst of the land among the people, it shall be like the shaking of an olive tree, like the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Therefore, glorify the Lord in the dawning light, the name of the Lord God of Israel in the coastlands of the sea. From the ends of the earth, we have heard songs, glory to the righteous. Praise be to God. In spite of the darkness of the day that will be on this world, someday in the not too distant future, it may even be beginning today. We don't know that for a certainty, but we will know as the days unfold before us. In spite of the hopelessness, the lack of joy, the lack of stability, there will be a people in the midst of this who are going to sing a song of glory. There are going to be a people who have an unshakable ability to worship in the last days. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 25, the writer of Hebrews says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven.' Now this, 'yet once more,' indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made." In other words, there's a crisis moment coming to this world where everything that has been made of man, even if it professes to be of God, if it is not of divine origin, if it does not have the truth of God in it, if it is not born or carried by the Spirit of God, it will be shaken. False worship will be shaken. Hollow religion will be shaken. There will be a shaking come to the nations of the world like nothing this world has ever seen. The shaking will be so fierce that only things which cannot be shaken will remain. The only thing I know that cannot be shaken is the presence of Almighty God Himself in my life and in your life. It is my confidence in Him. It is opening my heart and letting Him do His work. It is in letting God instill inside of this human body and this human mind a new value system, a new way of looking upon this world. A new song that can't be sung if I am still attached to the things of this world and if I am still drawing my security from this perishing planet. That song, if that is the source of my song, it's going to be shaken, it's going to dry up. But if I'm drawing from the heart of God, the strength of God, I will have a confidence and a song that cannot be shaken. Therefore, he says, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We are receiving a kingdom. Now, that's a twofold statement. Number one, we have a promise of eternity with God. We're going to talk about that at 1 o'clock today. So we are receiving a kingdom. But secondarily to that, remember, Jesus said to the people, the kingdom of God is within you. And so if you are a child of God, not only is our name written down in that new kingdom, but we are receiving the life, the strength, the power, the stability that comes with the citizenship in that kingdom. And it is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I am receiving new strength from this kingdom every day. That's why the psalmist David could say, morning by morning, new mercies I see. The old things in my life and yours are continuously passing away, and behold, all things are being made new. I have opened my heart to Christ, and I am receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. As a believer in Jesus Christ, that's exactly what happened to you. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, the scripture says, the earth was without form, in darkness and void. In other words, it was empty and it was purposeless. That's actually what it means. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And God spoke. Do you remember when your life was empty and void and purposeless? And the Spirit of God hovered over you. You suddenly started thinking thoughts about God, wondering, where did these thoughts come from? I remember as a young police officer walking the beat one day, and out of nowhere, thoughts about God started coming into my mind. I remember thinking, why am I thinking about something that I don't even care to think about? Why am I wondering who God is? You see, I was empty, purposeless, dark, going nowhere. And suddenly the Spirit of God started hovering over my life. And then at a certain point, God spoke and darkness turned to light. And he recreated me, began that process of creation in my life. Actually, when you study Genesis chapter 1, you'll see that when you come to Christ and open your heart to the Son of God, God recreates you almost the same way, in the same way that he created the world in the first place. He spoke and darkness turned to light. Do you remember when you let God speak to your heart the first time about your need of a Savior? You opened your heart, and the light of God, who is Christ Jesus, came into your life. And suddenly, you have a change. I remember that when I first came to Christ, I looked in the mirror, and it was like another set of eyes were looking back at me that were not my own. It was the strangest feeling. I knew something had happened inside of me. Light had come into a darkened place. And that's exactly the beginning of the kingdom of God. And of course, the second thing he did in the creation of the world is he divided the waters that were in the world from the waters that are in the heavens. He created a distinction, a difference between the two. And that's exactly what he did in my life and in your life. He started to show us the difference between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. The thoughts of this world that we had embraced and had shaped us and formed us. Now he started to show us that there were thoughts above those thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And suddenly you begin to realize that there is a better way to think. There's a better way to live. There's a deeper value system than everything I've ever embraced thus far in my life. The third thing God did is he created boundaries that the waters could only go so far, and he brought out the dry land. And many here, myself included, you remember before you got saved, you had no boundaries in your life. There was no limit to what you would do if you could get away with it. But then suddenly now you have light. Suddenly you know the difference between right and wrong. And suddenly God is establishing boundaries. And you can't go where you used to go. And you can't say what you used to say. And you don't want to do what you used to do because a new kingdom has come. You have received in your heart, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And then suddenly, after all of this is beginning to be established, new life. This is where God began to now create life in the world. All of the things that we know today, and you begin to be aware that new life is being created, a new heart. Now, there's a tendency in all of us to want to draw back to the familiar, to want to draw our comfort from what left us in darkness in the first place. We all have that tendency to be hesitant to go forward. But I promise you, if you make the break from everything that was old in your life that should no longer be there, new life is yours. A new heart, he promises, a new mind, a new spirit, a new future, new giftings of God, a new vocabulary, new love, new eyes, new abilities, new hands. It's an amazing life when you make the break from the past and make the decision to say, God, I receive your kingdom into my heart and I'm going to go forward. And with it comes a promise that this kingdom of God inside of my heart and my life cannot be shaken. No matter what happens in this world, it cannot be shaken. The fifth thing that God did is he put lights in the sky for signs and for direction. Remember, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You and I are set in this world as signposts to those that are lost, saying this way to safety, this way to God, this way to eternity, this way to forgiveness, this way to power, this way to provision, this way to everything that you will ever need. You and I, as the stars are in the heavens, are promised that we will stand. No matter how deep the storm may be in our time, we will stand and we will be signposts to those that want to escape darkness and find a way to eternal life in God through Jesus Christ. Now, the prophet Isaiah says something very, very unique and interesting. In verse 11 of where we opened up, he said, there's a cry for wine in the streets, a cry for joy, a cry for happiness. Now, you may not realize it, but that cry is already here in New York City. You look in the faces of people. Just walk down to Penn Station and just look in people's faces and tell me that cry is not there. There's a desperation now growing in the hearts of people because they don't see a future. They don't see stability. They realize that society is starting to unravel around them very, very quickly. Joy is darkened. How many joyful people do you meet between here and Penn Station? Not very many. You can count them all on one hand if you're lucky. That's a good day too. Joy is darkened. No shortage of people yelling and cursing on their cell phone. No shortage of people saying, get out of my way. No shortage of hucksters selling stuff on the corner. No shortage of immorality all around. It's abounding everywhere, but there is a shortage of joy. The mirth of the land is gone. He says in verse 11, in the city desolation is left and at the gate is stricken with destruction. That means the place of forming human strategies to secure a successful future has come to an end. We're hanging by a thread. People who lead us don't seem to know what they're doing anymore. Everyone is grasping for something of stability for the future. But in verse 13, he says, when it shall be thus in the midst of the land among the people. In other words, when the land gets like this, it shall be like the shaking of an olive tree, like the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. Then there will be a people who lift up their voice. They will sing for the majesty of the Lord. They will cry aloud from the sea. They will glorify the Lord in the dawning light, in this moment when light is coming into society. You see, when the society gets like this, this is the way I see this. Now, there's different interpretations, but I'm going to speak from what I feel God was showing my heart when I was reading this. It's people are going to let go of what they've been holding on to. It talks to me about a heart. It's like going up to an olive tree. If you shake it before the season, you can shake it all you want. The olives are going to cling to the branch. You understand? But when the right time comes, you shake that tree and hundreds of olives are going to start falling out of it. You stand there. And if those who have heaven's value system, as the land grows darker, we are going to realize if our value system is souls, If Calvary's kingdom has been planted inside of us, if we are ambassadors for the one who went to a cross and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. If that's who we are, if that's why we're on the earth, yes, the seas will roar. Yes, the winds will blow. Yes, the earth will shake. Yes, there'll be fires throughout the world. Yes, madmen will rise up and have nuclear weapons at their disposal. But those of us who know God will say, God, thank you for planting me in this moment of time when people are going to be shaken loose from that which has captivated them, that which has held them, that which has made them dark, and they're going to be willing to be harvested for the kingdom of God. There will be a song of praise rise up among those who know God and love God with all their heart. Those who have Christ's heart for the lost will recognize the moment and begin to give thanks to God that though the days might be difficult, they've been left on the earth as a testimony of his keeping power and his willingness to forgive. May God help us to understand this. May God help us. May God give us the grace to understand what is of value in this world. There will be no more Wall Street one day. There'll be no more Times Square. There'll be no more retirement plans. There'll be no more vacation homes. There'll be no more cruise ships. There'll be none of this stuff. All that matters in eternity is people. Whatever it takes to shake them loose, whatever it takes. And if God should choose to leave me in the midst of that, then I'm going to learn to rejoice. I'm going to learn to thank him. I'm going to learn to say, God, thank you, Lord, for leaving me in this place for their sakes. I want you to think with me for a moment about the Apostle Paul and his friend Silas. In Acts chapter 16, verse 22, the scripture says, the multitude rose up together against them. That's against Paul and Silas. The magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. I wonder if we're not living in a kind of a similar time, trying to take off the righteousness of the church by relabeling us as bigots and haters and people whose right to exist should even be challenged, beating the church of Jesus Christ with rods, lumping us in this world with hate groups when we're everything but that. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. In other words, the devil with Paul and Silas and with the church today is doing everything in his power to immobilize the testimony of Christ's people, to immerse them in their present troubles, and to stop their feet from going forward on the mission that's been left them by their master. The devil's doing everything in his power to sideline the church right now because he himself knows the testimony of a people who are God-breathed and have the heart of God living inside of them. And yes, it was a darkened time. And yes, Paul would have preferred, I'm sure, to be somewhere else. And so would Silas. And yes, they had been beaten. They'd been shamed. They're laying on a cold slab of stone. Their feet are in the stocks. They expect further judgment the next day. It's a difficult moment. It couldn't seemingly get any worse. But at the darkest part of the night, but at the time of the deepest darkness, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Paul and Silas were praying. I want to suggest to you they were a type of the unshakable worship of the last days. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The strength that he gave to Paul and to Silas is the same strength that God will give to you and I in our midnight hour, in our darkened time, in our difficult social moment. When we find ourselves vilified, beaten, verbally. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I tell you, nobody can take away the song that God plants inside of you as his child. If it's a song that the world has produced, if it's a song that has come from the hearts of man, it can be taken away. But if it has been planted there by the one whose kingdom is within us, it cannot be taken away. It sees the hand of God in everything. Now, it was dark. The jailer, a little later on, calls for a light. He couldn't even see anything. It's dark in that place. But there's a light inside of Paul and Silas. And they began to sing and pray, and the prisoners were listening to them. I don't know what they were singing. I really don't, but I think it was a pre-today version of through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Remember, we read in Isaiah, a shaking of the olive tree, a shaking of the grapevine. Suddenly, there was a shaking, an earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. The foundations that were in the lives of the prisoners were shaken. Every foundation of hell was shaken. Every spiritual evil was shaken. Every false trust was shaken. Everything that had put every man in jail was shaken. Everything began to shake, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Blessed be God. I said, all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. All the doors, because God had somebody that had an unshakable worship in the darkest days that most everybody in that prison had ever faced in their lifetime. Somebody was worshiping in the midst of that darkness. Somebody that God, in His mercy, had allowed to be there for the sake of the prisoners that were in that prison. Somebody had not lost their song, because inside of them they had a song that could not be taken away, because it was not given of anything of this world. It was a song given by God. Listen to Psalm 96. Let me read it to you. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. We are the sanctuary of God. Do you understand that? Strength and beauty are in the sanctuary. Strength and beauty are in the sanctuary. Praise be to God. The strength of God is in the sanctuary, in these physical bodies. The beauty of Christ. The beauty of truth. The beauty of His strength. Strength and beauty are in the sanctuary. Oh God, help us to understand these things, especially at this time we now find ourselves living in. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Give to the Lord the glory. Do His name. In other words, open your heart to the strength of God. Open your heart to the power of God. Open your heart to the ways of God. Open your heart to the will of God. Open your heart to the kingdom of God. Open your heart to the purpose of God for your life. Open your heart and give Him glory. Don't live your life to try to get out of where you are and try to find a comfortable place. God put you where you are for a divine reason. Learn to worship Him where you are. Learn to glorify Him where you are. Give to the Lord the glory due to His name. You are able to keep me. You are able, Lord, to give me joy. You are able to set me free. You are able to sustain me. You are able to give me strength when my strength has failed. You are Almighty God, and I will praise Your holy name. I will praise Your holy name. With all that is within me, I will praise Your holy name. I will give You glory. When there's nobody else to give You glory, God, I will, because I have learned to trust You. I have learned that I can have all things, I can have nothing. I've learned that there's no power of hell. There's no wall, there's no valley, there's no angel, no power, no principality. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is mine in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Give the Lord glory that is due unto his name. Don't be found in your apartment. Don't be found in your neighborhood. Don't be found in your office hanging your head and singing the blues with everyone else. Be found at that place, as awful as it is, singing, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Remember that God has put you where you are for the sake of somebody else. That is the song that will be unshakable in the last days. We may not have an abundance in the cupboard. The water may be rising in our apartments as well as everybody else, but we will have a song. We will have a testimony. We will have a confidence in God that this world cannot give. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Say to the nations, "The Lord reigns." Bring your situation. Bring your trial. Bring your hardship. Bring your druthers. A brother of mine used to say, your druthers. You know what your druthers are? I'd druther be somewhere other than where I am right now. You bring your druthers. You say, "God, I'm going to worship you here. And I'm going to bring the glory that's due to your name. And as I learn to worship you, I'm asking you to shake that tree. Every tree around me where people have a false trust when they see my life and they hear the song coming from my heart, the song of confidence in you, the song of understanding that I am here for their sakes. I am placed before them as the stars are placed before this world in the heavens. For direction, for guidance, and as a testimony to the light and the glory of God. This is why I am where I am." Bring an offering. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Bring an offering. Bring an offering. Offer to him your hardship. Offer to him the places you'd rather not be. Offer to him everything and everywhere you want to escape from. Offer, bring an offering and say, "Lord, I am willing that you should plant that song, that unshakable last day song. I am willing that you should plant that inside of my heart, because people now need to know that you are God. They need to know that there's a joy available that nothing of this world is able to give or will ever give them. It can only come from the people of God." Oh, Father God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, lift us higher than we've ever been before. Fill us fuller than we've ever known the presence of your Holy Spirit. Plant a song of praise so deep within us that it will flow over like David's did, that we can say, "My cup overflows." God, let us be singing the songs of praise to you, Lord, as we go through our day. As easy or hard as it may be, as we walk into our home, as hospitable or as hostile as it may be. Put a song, because you will keep us and you've left us as a sign. We have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so you say, with that kingdom comes an incredible grace. Father, thank you so much. I ask you today, Lord, to bless your church. Bless the people who can hear these words. Bless those who will hear them in the days ahead. My God, give us the strength we're going to need. Give us the power to worship you, Lord, in the midst of the fires. Give us the strength and the grace, oh God. Father, we thank you with all of our hearts. With all of our hearts, oh God, we thank you. Now, I'm going to ask you, this altar call is an offering. I'm going to ask everybody who's here today and you've been looking for a way out and God's been looking for a way to keep you in. Bring an offering. bring an offering and come into his courts. The offering is, Lord, I'm willing to have you plant that unshakable worship inside of me. I don't yet have all the verses of this song, but I know you'll reveal it to me. And I know you'll give me the words and the countenance that goes with it. But I bring an offering because I want to give you the glory that's due to your name. I'm not going to be found among those who just simply live to escape every hard place. I want to learn to find you in the middle of it and to glorify you, even in the darkness of it. Let it not just be Paul and Silas that were used of you to open prison doors and set prisoners free. Let the worship in my mouth and the confidence in my heart also shake hell in these last days that we're now living in. Father, I thank you. Let that be the cry of your heart. We're going to stand in a moment, and as we do, I'm going to ask you if God's been speaking to your heart, just to bring your situation to God as an offering today. And say, Lord, I want to glorify you in the midst of this. If you choose to deliver me in the future, so be it. And if you don't, so be it. I'm going to bring to you my heart, and I'm asking you to plant your kingdom deep inside of me, that in the midst of my trial, glory will be brought to your name. Give me a worship that cannot be shaken. In Jesus' name. Let's stand. We're going to sing for a moment. If that's you, just come. Just slip out. Just come. Come now. Come quickly. Balcony, go to either exit. Make your way here, please. Bring it all to him. Bring everything to him. Bring your fears, your frustrations, your failures. Just come and watch what God will do for you. You know, for many who are here at this altar today, you may not fully understand it, but this is your Gethsemane. This is your time. Just like Jesus said, Father, I would rather not. He was fully God, but he was fully man. And the man side of him said, Father, I'd rather not do this way. If there's any other way it can be done, can you consider this? But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that's where you and I are today. There's a human side of us doesn't want to suffer. And there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make you deficient. Nobody hops, skips, and jumps into suffering that's of sound mind. And it's not wrong to say, God, I would really rather not, but if this is your will for my life, is this what you want for me? Then I yield to it. And it's in that yielding that the power of God is finally made known. The greatest victories, it's in that yield. Remember, an earthquake came into Israel and shook the ground. And as a matter of fact, graves opened and dead people came out of graves. It was an amazing victory, obviously. But it came with a conscious decision. Not my will, but thine be done. And I want to thank you for responding. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart on God's behalf, because it's through the surrendered life that the greatest victories are won. God will keep you and God will fill your basket. If you walk this way, God will fill your basket with souls. One day you stand before the Lord, say, God, I just so thank you. I made the right choice because it shook people loose from their false trusts all around me. And because they saw you keeping me in the midst of my difficult time, in my struggle, they let go of what they were holding to. And Lord, so I give you praise today. I thank you, God. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for the confirmation of your Holy Spirit in our hearts, Lord, that it's not the easy choice, but it's the right one. Nobody wants to be given for others deep down. We would rather take our salvation and run home with it and go straight to the throne. But God, you have a pathway through human suffering and trial and difficulty because you came into this world and died so that people may live. And you left us here as ambassadors of that heart. And so I thank you, Lord. I thank you. You'll give us all the power to say, not my will, but thine be done. Every last one of us, Lord. And you'll give us the song that goes with it. There's a song that goes with surrender. I thank you for it with all my heart. Thank you for these men and women, God, for the deep work of your Spirit that's being done in many hearts, for people who will not turn back, no matter how difficult the days may get. You promised a last day's worship that can't be taken away. So, Lord, we claim that as our own today. God, thank you, Lord, that we will be able to glorify you no matter what happens in the days before us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.